I want to turn our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. No matter how long you work with Scripture, there's always something new in it. And there's different spirit. I've been thinking about this. We're supposed to pray in the Spirit. How many knows that? How many knows we're supposed to walk in the Spirit? How many knows we're supposed to be in the Spirit? How many knows the Spirit's supposed to be in us? It just goes on and on and on. And there's two spirits that God's really been dealing with me about. And one is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that the Bible talks about. And the other is the spirit of death. See, the death comes from the devil, as we said this morning. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy. But he said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. These people that's missing the services, they're heading for the spirit of death. Their soul will die because they have to have spiritual food. How many knows there's spiritual food? And we just go on to the things in the spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, Zechariah 4:6 said, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. But there's a spirit of death, and that spirit of death is going through our land right now. That's why people get all stirred up and they kill somebody or a whole bunch of somebody. That's a spirit of death. The Bible calls it there in Revelations, the pale horse and his rider goes by. Well, that's a song about that. How many knows that song? Pale horse and his rider goes by. And how many knows who his rider is? Death. He's sitting on that pale horse, riding through, and multitudes of people's going to die because the pale horse and his rider. And I really believe that. I said here about 2 or 3 months ago, he's already begun to trot. That horse is. He's already begun to trot. It's getting in people's minds. And instead of the spirit of God, they got a spirit of death. And people, even in church, don't realize it, but they accept the spirit of death. See, our death comes because we don't have the spirit of God. Our carnal man is death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. So people walking in the spirit of death, heading for the spirit of death. Don't even realize it. It's so concealed of the devil. And how many knows the Bible said, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. So let's start reading here in Romans chapter 8, first verse here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. We don't feel condemned because there is no condemnation if we're walking in the Spirit. If there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, the next part of that, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's no condemnation to them who in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 2 said, for the law. Now, I want you to notice there's a law. Everything operates by law. The law means that something that governs us. Laws governs us. How many know there's a law of gravity that governs us? If it wasn't a law of gravity, we'd just be floating around out here. You see, there's a law of gravity. There's all kinds of laws. And there's a law of the spirit of life. And there's a law of the spirit of death. So there's things that governs things. And law is a governing element in our land. And verse 2 said, for the law of the spirit of life. So there's your law of the spirit of life. In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How many sees that? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's a law of sin and death, and that law is something that controls people and gets them out of the spirit, gets them to backslide, get away from God, and that's the law of the spirit of death. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation in that. You feel free. How many knows? I like that song, I am free from condemnation, for the Son has set me free. How many ever heard that song? That's a good old song, for the Son hath made me free. So it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If we're under his control and the law of him, then we're free from the law of sin and death. That's what you call freedom. Then it says, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus turned it around from the condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned. What did he condemn? He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he took care of the law of sin and death and sinful flesh, and for the sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He done that of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then gave us liberty. How many's free? I'm glad I'm free. I'm not bound. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from that. I have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then he comes on down in verse 4, and he said that the righteousness of the law, now that's the law of the good law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here's the only way it can be fulfilled, this law of the Spirit of life. For the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, and here we go again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can't walk in the flesh and have this, but after the Spirit, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it behooves us to walk after the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, how many sees that? They do mind. They that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. They think of the things of the flesh. They're always minding the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus that has made us free from the law of sin and death. That keeps us from the law of the flesh and the mind, the flesh to do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we come to a law of death. And this is a law. For to be carnally minded, that's the flesh and the carnal mind, being carnally minded is what? Is death. To be carnally minded, that is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So there's a Spirit of life and there's the Spirit of peace. Actually, the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit. So we've got an opportunity to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and not be carnal-minded, and not walk in the spirit of death, but walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets us free from the law of sin and death. Carnal-minded. It says in verse 7, here's the reason. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So to be carnally minded is death. It's enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, so it cannot be subject to this law of God, which is the law of life and peace in Christ Jesus. Carnal mind can't have that. It's not subject to it. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It just can't be. So the most wonderful thing that a Christian can do is walk in the Spirit. Mind the things of the Spirit. Talk with God. Everything that you go to do, God will guide you. He'll guide you how to buy the right car. He'll guide you in just all kinds of things, walking in the Spirit. But we have to walk in the Spirit. Another scripture said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh, they just can't please God. Because God wants us to walk in His Spirit. The Spirit of what? Life. Did you know? Did you ever hear a lot of folks sit around and talk anymore? They talk death all the time. I go to churches where they talk death. They preach death. And the congregation looks dead. And they are dead. There's no movement in there whatsoever. There's no tears. There's no worship. There's no nothing. They just sit there and stare at you. And that's death. That's death. As I said here a while back in the revival, God is not coming after a dead wife. The bride is the church. And He's not coming after a dead church. He's not coming after a dead church. He's coming after a live church. He's coming after a glorious church. Ephesians chapter 5 said, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. That's the church He's coming after. And that is developed as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. So God's wanting us to walk in the Spirit, isn't He? Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Now, here's when you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, this is a real scripture here when we just break it down. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit when, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, now, let's look at that. Did you ever hear people say, boy, we went to church and we got in the Spirit, but now they're in the flesh. What is that? What does the word dwell mean? This is a real point, isn't it? What does the word dwell mean? What does it mean when you say you dwell in your house? You live in your house. So if we're walking the Spirit, God dwells in our house. This is His house. He dwells there. He lives there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God lives there. That's life. That's walking in the Spirit of life. It's God dwelling in there. Then you're led by the Spirit of God, and you do the things that pleases God. Jesus said, He that sent me is always with me, for I do always the things that please Him. Jesus done everything He could to please the Father. He said, He's always with me. Every time I pray, He answers. He's with us in our prayer. He's with us in our daily duties. He's with us in everything if we do this, if we walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now, just think of all the things that the Spirit of Christ does, promotes, causes us to do, and others to do. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. We have to have the Spirit of Christ. How many knows that the Spirit, everybody knows that, even sinners, they'll say, he's in a bad spirit today. You ever hear people say that? Somebody coming in, you know, all happy and everything. They say, oh, they're in a good spirit today. We done that when we were sinners. What more should we do when we're Christians? We should always have that. You know, I'm glad tonight. I feel good here. We've got a small crowd here tonight. But ain't none of you in the doldrums tonight. We had a good service. We enjoyed the singing. I hope you're enjoying the preaching. I enjoy your presence. I enjoy the presence of the Lord. If it doesn't take a whole big crowd, it just takes you and God. Sometimes I get out just somewhere just by myself, and me and God has a time. I worship Him, and He blesses me. Tears roll, bumps run up down my back. I speak in tongues, rejoice in the Lord. Just have a good time in the Lord. It makes you feel so much better. The day goes better. All the things that you're around that's opposing God, they come in line with the Word of God. And you begin to rejoice in it. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if Christ dwell in us, He's righteousness. And if the body is dead, our body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So His righteousness. We're obeying Him. We're leaning to Him all time. So these are very important points in this here. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, there's that word again, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. What does the word quicken mean? It means to liven it up, doesn't it? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in us, it'll quicken our mortal body. In other words, it does good things for the mortal body. It keeps it strong, healthy, feeling good, quickened, livens it up. In other words, it livens up not just the spirit man in us, but it livens up the body. Now, we're talking about the mortal body now. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, that's good, isn't it? By the spirit. Paul just had such a wonderful way of putting his parts of the Bible together. He could say more in three sentences than I can say in a whole page. But I can absorb it because he writes it under the anointing. And so then it says in verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." In other words, refrain from doing the things that we used to do when we was in sin. That's been cut off. The old man has passed away, and all things become new. Takes us a while to get this old body in line, you know. When you quit smoking cigarettes, you know, it takes a while for that to leave, you know. But when you get totally freed from walking in the Spirit, they don't bother. You don't even like to smell them anymore after a certain period of time. Same thing with drinking alcohol. Anything that pertains to fleshly lust and things like that, you're not drawn away with it anymore. You're free from that. Verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." We're not in debt to the flesh. We don't have to do this. We have other things that we enjoy. "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." How many can see the spirit of death and the spirit of life in there? Paul's constantly through this chapter comparing the spirit of death and the spirit of life. And then he comes on down, and you live. Now he's telling us something's going to lead us. If I'm being led, what's that mean now? Governing. Yeah, whatever's leading me is governing me, isn't it? Whatever's leading me. If it's the devil leading me, I'm being governed by the devil. But if it's the Lord that's leading me, then I'm being governed by the Lord. So it's another governing element here. And it says, verse 14, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," or governed by the Spirit of God, "they are the sons of God." Boy, now, when we get into sonship, we really get into things. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Just think, Jesus came and died upon a cross and gave us the ability that we might become the sons of God without dying on the cross, yet we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. That's very clear in the Bible. "So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. But I wonder those that's led by the spirit of the devil, who they the son of." We said that last Sunday before last. They're illegitimate children, led by the devil. So, verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In other words, we can pray and reach the Father. How many knows how we come to the Father? Jesus said, St. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but who? By me." Now, Jesus is the advocate with the Father. We have to go through him to get to the Father. We pray to the Father through him. We say, "Our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven." We're praying through the Father, through him. There's no other way to get to the Father. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." So it does away with all fear. I like that song. "Because he lives, all fear is gone." Where's he live at? Where's his home? In us. "Christ in you, the hope of glory." There ain't no fear. Fear gets wiped out. Fear has what? Torment. Fear hath torment. But perfect love, what? It casts out fear. When we love God enough, it casts out fear. No fear. You ever hear people say, I'm just afraid I'm going to do this. I brought that in this morning. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Afraid of this. Afraid of... No, that's fear. No fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption. There's the spirit of adoption. Just look at all the spiritual things in the Bible. The spirit of adoption. And what do? We cry what? Abba, Father. We have a Father that we can cry out to, that will help us in our time of troubles and whatever that comes upon us. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That we are the children of God. Our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we are His. Son, children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Boy, that's good, eh? You know you're an heir? If children, we're heirs. Heirs of God. That just does me good. That makes me feel like shouting because I'm an heir. An heir. Now, we're not just an ordinary heir. We're joint heirs with Christ. Huh? Now, that is really something. That means if I'm an heir and a joint heir with Him, that I have what He's got. You know, the elder brother in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, he didn't know he was an heir. He there had everything he wanted on the farm, and the father had to come out and tell him, come on in and rejoice with him. Son, thou art ever with me. All I have is that. But he was telling the father, I've been with you all these years here on this place. I've worked and everything, and I've done this and I've done that. You've never killed the fatted calf for me. And the son is in there. They've killed the fatted calf, and they're having a big time, kind of a revival, I guess you might say. The son has come home. That's when you have revival, when prodigal sons begin to come home. Revival breaks out. And so there they are. They're having a big time in there. And the elder brother said, you never did do nothing for me. And you know what the father done? He put his arm around him, and he said, son, thou art ever with me. You've always been with me. And all I have is thine. You join here. And you say, I never did do nothing for you. See, a lot of folks like to complain, you know, complain. We shouldn't have a complaint if we have God. We've got everything. We're joint heirs with Jesus, led by the Spirit. We're the sons of God. We can say to the Father, Abba, Father. He answers our prayer. Why should I complain? Sometimes we have to fight off complaint, but complaint is one thing that a Christian don't need, is complaint. That's what they said in the wilderness. They were complainers and all those kind of things, and they couldn't get through the wilderness. They spent 40 years marching around the wilderness before they got to go over, and how many knows it was a 3-day journey if they'd have went straight through. 40 years. The devil, he'll bring things out. It takes you 40 years to get something that can be done in 3 days. 40 years. I've seen people try to get rid of this and get rid of that for 40 years, but all they had to do is turn it over to the Lord, and He's the only one that can deliver us from these things. So we're the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. So when a little time of suffering and problems comes along, that doesn't mean we're by ourselves. How many knows He done that too? So we're joint heirs. How many ever heard the old saying that take the bitter with the sweet? How many knows if you're going through a trial, it ain't going to last forever? And the quicker that we get to acting like that, quicker the trial gets over. Huh? Praise the Lord. Now that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So if we go through a little suffering for Him, then we're glorified with Him together. How many knows if you err something, you get good and everything is not quite so good. But I'll tell you, it's worth every bit of it. Every bit of it. And then we're joint heirs and we're glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Oh, my goodness. God's glory is going to be revealed in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glory revealed in us. See, God wants to reveal Himself in us. How many knows it's His glory? And it's His glory that's revealed in who? In us. If we go through the trial successfully. You know, when we're in a trial, no need in getting upset. No need of getting weighted down. No need to let people bother you. You have to control that sometimes. But if you do, God will start working for you immediately. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now listen to this. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now who is going to be manifested in the sons of God? Now the earnest expectation of our creature and other creatures. The expectation, they waiteth for what? The manifestation. To manifest the sons of God. Well, that's what we are. Sons of God. Babies in Christ, and then there's children of God, and then it goes on, and then with the sons of God. And then we can go up to another place in God, the man of God. How many knows about the man of God? The prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastor, the teacher. They can be men of God, but they have to be sons. They have to come up the ranks. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. A lot of folks still talking like babies. They've been in church for 20 years, 30 years. I know some people that's been in church 50 years and they haven't grown an inch in God the last 40 years. They got involved with carnal things, this and that, and somebody else's mess and somebody else's problem and all that kind of stuff. And when they did, they lost out with God. Now, the earnest expectation of the creature, it's waiting. Another scripture said it waits and groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What promises are in this book? Verse 22, it says about the groan. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then it goes down to the 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. How many knows if you got a infirmity or a sickness or something wrong? The Spirit helps that infirmity. The rest of that says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we may not know just exactly what we ought to pray for, but we pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we groan and pray. And that's getting down to business with God. Amen.